It is Wednesday, December 14th, 2016. My oh my, it's too bad that we didn't have this game on NBCSN because it surely was a Wednesday night rivalry. A night you really love to hate. And you got to see the entire game throughout. I don't know where I was going with that, but oh well. Welcome to this edition of Pugnology After Dark following a 4-3 Sharks victory in the shootout over the Ottawa Senators, those big arch-rival Ottawa Senators. I am Eric Kura, otherwise known as PuckGuy14. Let's make sure you know, Pucknology loves San Jose. Just throwing it out there. A lot. But you know, also we also love our sponsor, Audible, an Amazon company. They partnered with us to give us a free 30-day trial. You can search up to 180,000 audiobooks, and one of those is yours free, no matter if you want to keep the service or not. And just make sure you hit up audibletrial.com/PAD. You get a free book. You help support the show. And like the Sharks again tonight, everybody wins! Yeah!
Audible, hey, honestly, I forgot to wear my audibletrial.com/PAD shirt, the iHeart one.
Oh. Shame on you for 6 weeks.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We'll let it slide this time. All right. Nonetheless, good evening, everybody. We'll be joined by Hockey Jerk and Chris in just a moment. But, of course, you're always welcome to join the Chompversation. Use the hashtag PucknologyAD. Tonight you have at PuckGuy14, at ChrisJWS, at Hockey_Jerk. You can also connect with us on the YouTube chat, on the page, or in the app itself. So, let's make this happen. We'll say good evening to Chris JWS. How are you?
What's up? I'm actually on a show for once. It's been a while, guys.
I know, it's been forever. We're glad. Congrats on surviving another semester. Mr. Hockey Jerk, good evening to you, sir.
If Martin Jones starts a game that Aaron Dell should have started and he wins, does it really count as a win?
If he makes a save and there's no one there to see, did he actually make a save?
I don't know. These are questions that we will dissect tonight. Stick around.
I mean, you could do a whole PhD. You could do a whole dissertation, a PhD in philosophy on these questions. But we'll get into that.
Yes. All right. And sorry, Gen X. I will still try to make Chompversation happen. Nonetheless, all right, let's talk about this game. The Sharks win 4-3. A surprise on the onset. Jonas Donskoy not in the lineup. We haven't heard too many things just yet. Kurz mentioned that it might be some sort of illness or injury that he's been working through. Of course, he's been snake bitten, you know, for most of the year already. So there's that kind of surprise. You also have Vlasic coming back into the lineup, which was a nice fixture to see. And there was definitely a lot where Vlasic was in the action tonight. We'll get into that, but, we'll start right off the bat. Chris, what did you take initially from tonight's game?
Well, I mean, the Sharks did all the taking. They kind of stole two right there. I hope they got a getaway car already warmed up, because I don't think they really deserve to win this one. But honestly, it was kind of a mirror image of when Ottawa was here. They didn't really deserve to win that one either. So it's, you know, it seems like it's the universe balancing itself out in very small little microcosm there. But I mean, they made some plays when they had to. And I think something that should be noted that I was trying to figure out how the heck were they were even in this game, this luck or what it was. But really, they actually were launching a lot more shots from the slot area than Ottawa does, about double, actually. So I think that's kind of what it came down to. Ottawa played better most of the night. The Sharks stole two. So you know what? I'll take it, because they're going to have games stolen from them too.
Yeah. I mean, you can actually kind of go back to the Ottawa one themselves, where they tied it. They made a good comeback, although they were asleep most of the time. But then Ottawa takes it with a minute left last Wednesday. But speaking of this Wednesday, Hockey Jerk, good evening, good sir. What did you take from tonight?
You know, Chris really nailed it all in the head. I thought they, you know, didn't really come out with any jump at all. And I thought the whole game kind of dragged on, not so much just because it was boring, but, you know, more because the Sharks, they were there, you know, like they showed up, they did their thing, and, you know, that was it.
All right, good night, everyone.
The goals that they did bury, you know, the Pavelski one and the Burns one were really nice goals, and I always love seeing Chris Tierney go to the net. But, I mean, outside of that, it just seemed like they were definitely tired from last night's game, and they just seemed outworked a lot of the time.
It was kind of a very punctuated type of game for them, like – so it was kind of there, and then suddenly you get Burns going beast mode to the net, and then you had Bodker doing one where he probably should have gotten a goal there. Tierney, and memorable moments. It was just the other 59 minutes of the game, aside from those 10 second bits, not much to write home about, especially when they were on the PP,
right? I feel like Jones kind of saved their asses a little bit, because there were a handful of chances where, you know, I'm watching the play develop and I think to myself, I'm like Ottawa's going to score right here, and they don't. So I think Jones gets a load of credit as well.
And let's talk about the power play. 0-for-7 tonight, including that 5-minute major, which we'll dive into a little bit more. But guys, is it time to just, you know, throw away the playbook and go at it, especially after you see Ottawa work their flow around, have some movement, and, you know, you see Dion Phaneuf get the third goal of the game for Ottawa just passing around, and the Sharks continue to be stagnant, and it seemed like this team was leaning towards having some more movement around on the power play, and it was working to them, and then all of a sudden they slow down and hold up. What is it with this power play? Why can't they get this crap going? I mean, they're getting more shots, which we'll give them kudos on, but especially tonight, they just seem off.
I mean, to me, the first couple power plays didn't seem that off. It was really the one that seemed off was the 5-minute one, and I think part of that does go to Couture being out, because normally the first unit, for say whatever you will about the, you know, sometimes they can be streaky, they can always pass it along the boards and pass it around the perimeter, no problem. Mm-hmm. They were having trouble passing it around the perimeter,
mm-hmm.
which is very unusual for that. They can pass, you know, we all know they can pass around the perimeter for an entire 2 minutes straight, just with, you know, like no two touches on the puck. That's just how they, you know, how good they are with it. But on that 5-minute power play, until like the last minute, they couldn't even like get it around the perimeter. Ottawa was on their ass every time, which I think a lot of that comes down to Couture being out. I think, I don't know if the rest of them were rattled or if it was just the not, you know, I forget who subbed in there for Couture, but it felt like, I've never seen that unit struggle to pass it around the perimeter, which is kind of what shocked me. But
it was Bodker. Sorry, didn't mean to interject.
Okay, well, there you go. That's why. And we'll get into that. But
And you bring up a really good point too, because there was one instance on the 5-minute major where, you know, I'm watching everything happen, and I believe it was Ward and Carlson were over on the right side, kind of, you know, playing hot potato with the puck, and there was probably a good 5 to 7 seconds that Schlemko was at the left point, just open. And I'm thinking, I'm like, give it to Schlemko, just let him bomb it. Even if it's an offensive zone faceoff, it's still a shot on goal. And the puck never got to him. And I'm like, what the fuck are they doing right now? Like, let's move it around a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So not quite breaking news, but a little update from Kevin Kurz is that there's no word in the postgame presser from DeBoer on Couture. So he hasn't specified if he's even going to fly with them to Montreal. So
that's not a good sign. Because if he was doing okay, he would be saying things, and we're not hearing a thing yet.
I would hope.
That's not good.
Not trying to derail the conversation. Yeah, we should probably we'll touch on Couture some more, and maybe there'll be more information that'll come out in the next 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, we'll dive into that, and if anything breaks, we'll try to get to you. Of course, the chat's always good to know on it. So we just got to hope that it'll be okay and it'll go on. But moving onward, from the power play to what we did score the net tonight, Pavelski gets the thing going with a nice tic-tac-toe pass behind the back from Couture. He gets open, which is one of his rare goals that he gets open on where he had a lot of room. But then Ottawa comes back not even like a minute four later to tie it in the first.
It's definitely a
back and forth game overall.
Yeah, that's where I do give the PP some credit, because while it did not count as a power play goal, that was essentially a power play goal because that came 2 seconds after it expired.
Right.
That was on the power play setup. At the same time, though, I should feel like I should dock, if I give them a point for that, I should dock them an extra one for having a 5 minute one that only counts as one. But, it's one of those things that all bounced out. But that's what I mean when I said there was a handful of plays tonight that were just incredible. The feed to Couture in front of the net, then no look pass, but, I think it might have been even between the legs to Pavelski, open on the far side. Easiest goal you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's nice to see Pavelski to get a goal like that, because, I love the Pavelski tip as much as the next person, but, it's been a good little while since we've seen him actually get some open space and shoot the puck, so I was pretty excited that he was able to do that.
Yeah, no, it's nice that they got their chances early, but, it just faltered on that five-minute power play.
I feel like we should just have like a drum that says AJ on it, so we can just go, we're beating AJ's drum since we are talking power play.
Well, speaking of drums that we bang on so many times, let's talk faceoffs. According to NHL.com, and I say this very, very technically, the Senators won 52% of the faceoffs while the Sharks won 49%. If you know how to do math really quick, that's 101%. That's right. Both teams combined to be 1% better in the faceoffs than they actually were.
I'm assuming there's some rounding errors in there. That, or they're giving extra credit on faceoffs now.
Well, I was going to say that's how bad the Sharks are at faceoffs, that they had to give them a little freebie.
Yeah, that extra 1% was probably given to the Sharks. It's like, we'll give you a sympathy 1%.
That's like last day of the semester when you're like, I need to pass this class. And it's like, okay, get out of my face.
Yeah,
it's like, here's an extra credit problem.
I mean, overall, they were fairly even. You had Pavs at 48, Jumbo at 54, Haley 50% on face-off wins, Couture 44, Wardo was the best one at 67, Tierney at 43, Wingles at 60. So let's talk about fourth line face-off wins. Should Haley take the face-off? No, kidding.
If the season ended today, right? Would Haley center the fourth line in the playoffs?
Oh, gosh. Let's not even start that one.
Let's not get down. But,
If the playoffs started yesterday, would Couture still be injured?
Right.
The playoffs started next week. Speaking of other drums we like to beat, and this is, we like to beat our Joner around here. So Martin Jones started on back-to-back, both ends of the back-to-back, and right now he's on pace for 69 starts the season. All right.
He might be good. He might be.
Might be good, but as many people have seen with Niemi and Nabokov, aren't you concerned of wearing him down? I mean, tonight was, I think, the fifth series of back-to-backs for this team so far. And yes, they're 4-1 in them in the second game of back-to-backs. However, aren't you getting concerned that you're going to be overusing him? I mean, and granted, hopefully there's more time for him to use Dell in March and April, but I don't know. I'm getting a little concerned that we're going to overdo Jonesy.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the whole point, is like, he's on pace for taking up most of the, you know, the vast majority of the games, and that's not good. No, really, though, like that was one of the biggest reasons why I felt Reimer, even though he never started a game in the playoffs, was one of the best acquisitions last year, because he let Jones get that rest and not, you know, not wear out Jones in February and March, and made sure Jones was rested and sharp when it actually mattered. And I still don't get it. Like, do they not have confidence in Dell, or what the deal is? Because when what we've seen of Dell, I don't understand why they don't have some confidence in him. He's played well. He's passed the eye test. He's passed the numbers test. I mean, I don't know. Any ideas? Oh, it looks like we lost the jerk here. I don't know if he went to AOL or what. Hockey Jerk, your thoughts?
AOL sucks, and I'm thinking about giving it back to Puck Guy.
Just saying, talking about Jones and Dell, and trying to figure out why on earth Dell does not get more opportunities. Your thoughts?
I don't know. Usually something like this comes up and I can at least like BS my way through a believable answer, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, I legitimately do not know. I think they have confidence in Dell. I mean, it appears that way whenever they talk about him. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Jones just really enjoys playing, and I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, if it's a Jones wanting to play all the time, that's where really a coach has to step in a little bit and say, hey, for your own good, we have to kind of chill a bit. Like, bro, save yourself for later, especially on back-to-backs. That's the one that I really don't understand. Like, if you only play Dell a handful of times all year, at least have it be on back-to-backs.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the back-to-backs are the key for me. Like, I don't have a problem if Jones gets a majority of the starts, as long as, you know, he's not going twice in 2 days. I mean, on the flip side, though, he is young, so I guess that's nice, is that he's still young enough to where we can overuse him.
Yeah, but I would rather we don't overuse him when he's young. So
yeah, true.
I'd like him to be around for a good number of years and be good for a good number of years, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is the drum we've beaten many times, and it's kind of the big mystery. I don't know if there's something we're just not seeing here.
Maybe.
Back to you, Puck Guy.
You're muted.
He's on mute.
Such a crap
production value here.
I'm trying to up the production value. That's why I was using Photoshop when I thought I was on. Nonetheless, this is one of the games we expected Dell to play, and it's not like he's awful. He's 3-1, 2.16 goals against, .926 save percentage. I mean, he's shown in the times that he's played very well. I think maybe the Carolina game on Saturday was probably his worst outing. I mean, and he still got the victory in it. So I don't understand. I the only thing is that you give Martin Jones the time, but man, it's one of those things where you just do not want him to get the overwork.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting word from a reporter on the scene that there might be a little locker room, spad little locker room drama. I don't know.
Oh.
Go a little PMZ there.
There we go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to make shit up at this point because it's like, gee, the numbers, everything. Jeez. Like, I don't fucking know.
Did Barkley Goodrow trip on Aaron Dell's dog, too? I mean, what's going on?
It always comes back to a dog.
Where is...
And the Penguins coach.
Yeah, or did he like...
And Taylor Swift.
Or did, you know... When Ben Smith was, you know, playing against the Sharks last night, you know, did he, like, accidentally bumped DeBoer's side mirror with his bag or something? I mean,
I don't know. If you put that in the context of if the season ended yesterday, that question is especially interesting.
Well, if the season ended tomorrow, though, would the Maple Leafs draft in the top 10?
Most likely, yes.
Probably, yes.
Yes.
Well, anyways, maybe we should get this thing back on the rails.
Donskoy. Have we heard anything yet?
Everything I've seen, and maybe there are updates since the post-game presser that I have not noticed, but right now it sounds like there might be a sickness involved.
That's what I was just going to say, because I'm pretty sure I saw Kevin Kurz say that Donskoy's absence was at least partially... Yeah, right here. This is from our friend Kevin Kurz 2 hours ago, says, hearing Donskoy scratching is at least partially health-related, although he hasn't been exactly tearing it up either.
Right.
Which can be said for about two-thirds of the Sharks roster. So.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean...
Yeah, I hope it was just health-slash-precautionary, because the idea of holding him out, unless he's like showing terrible efforts, and that holding him out because he's struggling to score, because, I mean... If that were the case, we wouldn't be able to build a bench a whole team. Because, I mean, half this team right now is well behind their pace for expected goals. I mean, Michael Haley is tearing up by it, relatively speaking.
True. And Haley, let's give him credit there. He drew a penalty for the power play to do something. Of course, he didn't do anything. But at least they gave him a chance to do something on there. Moving onward to the second period, you know, the Sharks get another goal, make it 2-1, and then, of course, Ottawa comes back to tie it up. Kyle Turris gets in there, and speaking of Kyle Turris, he responded to what Ottawa took exception to in the corner with Vlasic, whether it was a spear or a butt end or whatever it was. There was no real consensus of proof there of what happened, but or spear, or what happened to Carlson for Ottawa, and then sure enough, the next, not even a few seconds later, Kyle Turris comes off the bench, goes right at Vlasic to drop the gloves. Vlasic gets 5-4, essentially taking punches. And Turris gets 2 minutes for instigating, 5 minutes for fighting a 10-minute misconduct. There's also got to be some investigation for going right from the bench to Vlasic and starting an altercation. We've seen that in the past. That's an automatic 10-game suspension. So the Sens, I understand their upsetness, but they could be in big trouble here.
The whole leaving the bench thing, it all depends on whether or not it was on a legal line change.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it depends. Yeah, you're right. But also, I mean, I can't really blame him for being upset. Like, I mean, that looked like a pretty bad play to me by Vlasic. I can't blame him or the Sens or the coach for being upset, because that looked a little bit dirty. Not as dirty as another hit we're about to discuss, but I can't blame him too much, but definitely deserve the instigator. You know, 10-game suspension, I guess, depends entirely on exactly what happened around it.
I don't know. I think 10 games is kind of a stretch for a guy like Kyle Turris, who, to my knowledge, has had no previous discipline issues. I don't know. Like I said, if it's a legal line change, then fine him and make that be the end of it. But if he, you know, hopped the bench and was like, all right, I'm going to fuck this dude up, then give him like 3 games, because it's, you know, like Eric teed up, it's not the worst possible thing you could do to get yourself kicked out of the game.
No, you're right. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I was going to say, in the chat, Gen X wants to know when we're going to talk about LeBlanc's move in the chomp out. Well, yeah, we will get there. There's so much exciting things about this game to break.
Right after we talk about the potential Mike Hoffman chomp suspension.
You guys.
All right, I'll see you guys tomorrow on Pucknologist.
Hey.
And that 5-minute chomp penalty kill by the No, no. Okay, we're just messing with you. Okay, but yeah.
No, but yeah, I'm pulling up rule 70, which is leaving the bench. 70.1, no player may leave. The players are penalty bench at any time during an altercation or for the purpose of starting. That doesn't apply to this. Players shall not be permitted to come onto the ice during a stoppage play. Their game misconduct penalty. It doesn't really go into per se. I'll keep looking at this, but there was even the controversy with Ryan Klo, I think, in Chicago, how he jumped off the bench, and that's where the whole legal line change came in. I think he was fined for that, or he started that altercation.
Just play the puck from the bench like a real man.
That's right.
Well, that's the thing is, you go back to the John Scott suspension that you talked about. You know, in the player safety video, he says, you know, John Scott left the bench on a legal line change to start an altercation with what's his fuck? I don't even remember. Tim Jackman. That guy.
Yeah, I remember that one against Anaheim, and he got suspended for that. In that sense, yeah, that is a little similar. It would be surprising if the Canadian team got a 10-game suspension for leaving a bench on a penalty that should have been called on Vlasic, and they wanted to do something about it.
Yeah, but I'd be serious or surprised if anybody got a 10-game suspension, to be totally honest with you, for that.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep looking at this as we move on to perhaps retribution because of what happened on the Vlasic Carlson play. It might be something in the words of, all right, you went after our best player, we'll go after one of your best players. In that being said, Logan Couture did push Hoffman in the back and to gain some more room as they were going into the slot. Mike Hoffman with a two-handed cross-check to the head, knocking Couture down and out essentially for the rest of the game. He did receive a 5-minute major and a game misconduct. That's definitely going to be reviewed by the Department of Player Safety, led by goons Stefan Quintal and Chris Pronger. What did you take from it, Hockey Drick?
I thought it was crap, to be honest with you. You're playing hockey, which is the most physically intense sport in North America, and a guy, you know, shoves you in the back, and whether he shoved you hard enough to fall down, or you hit a rut in the ice, or you are shit at skating and you fell, it doesn't matter. It doesn't give you an excuse to fucking two-hand cross-check somebody right in the back of the head, especially when, you know, as somebody who plays with a guy who's had concussion problems, he should know better than to go for a guy's head like that. And I'm sure it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, and he didn't think about it until after the fact. But in that situation, especially because, you know, I believe at the time it was a tie game, you have to have some restraint, you know? You have to just say, all right, we're going to – and that, I tweeted about it too, you know, after he took the major. I said, make him pay on the scoreboard. Don't go for the retribution because it's just going to get you into more trouble. Mm-hmm. But – that being said, again, I look at Hoffman's history, and I think it's maybe like a couple game suspension. I don't think he's, you know, gone for the rest of the 2016 or anything like that. But, you know, I don't think he's going to be left alone either.
Yeah. Chris, what did you take from it?
I mean, that was just fucked up, man. I was just kind of amazed that he actually did that. I'm trying to look on Twitter here, see if there's any word on that yet. I haven't seen anything. I thought I saw something in the chat. It's a little hard to follow sometimes, but I don't know. I would imagine there's probably going to be a suspension. There's definitely going to be a review and probably a hearing for that. That was just, I don't know. I don't know if that was retribution or what that was, but dude, that's not cool, man. That's just, yeah, I'm looking at a GIF of it right now that someone posts on Twitter. That's just, oh my gosh, that's so cheap.
Yeah, dude.
And
to do it behind the back and everything is just so beyond ROM on that. I would be shocked if he didn't get suspended.
I'd be a little pissed if he didn't get suspended. I would say that's at least a three gamer. I would think.
I was thinking is somewhere around three games, because like I said, I don't believe he has a prior history.
Yeah. But like Ian said, but if it was Rafi Torres, he would have gotten an 84-game suspension.
No, it would be like 164 plus castration.
if the playoffs started tomorrow, would Rafi Torres still be suspended?
Ian, but what if that was Rafi Torres?
Exactly.
I'm glad when that meme will finally die. Gen X pointing out he was cross-chomped.
like I said in the chat, I think I'm Gen X's spirit animal tonight, apparently.
Laurel has an interesting question. She wants to know if you guys think it was intent to injure.
I mean, I can't read minds, but that looked awfully dirty to me. Like that looks, I don't know. You get the stick that high up, that looks to me like you're, you know, say if you're at chest level, maybe getting a stick up there. At least from what I see, that looked to me like that was more intentional, going high than not. That's just me.
Yeah, and plus you look at how, you know, Hoffman kind of went down near the faceoff circle, and he had the presence of mind to skate all the way to the crease just about to do this.
Yeah. No, that, and that's the interesting one there. In that sense, you know, it wasn't like right after. If it was right after, you know, maybe there's not so much intent perhaps, but since he kind of followed him around, a little ticky-tacky on his part.
So give me a second here. I'm got deep inverted Eric here. But yeah, there we go. So I assume you guys can see this, but yeah, if you look at the play here, I mean, just watch that. See, I mean, he went high on that one. You can see. Oh
yeah. It's almost chest height on that. And yeah, that's a little out of a little too much. I mean, to say that wasn't intent to injure. So, moving onward, of course, that's where the Sharks had the 5-minute power play. They couldn't do anything. Then Jumbo goes to the box for giving Alicia Cuthbert's husband, you know, the whiplash. And sure enough, Ottawa scores on the power play. They make it 3-2. Then Chris Tierney gets one right back when they absolutely needed one the most, because I was literally on the verge of going on a power play rant tonight if they didn't. He ties the game at 3-3. What did you guys think of the overtime? I seen back and forth, and poor Mikhail Bodker. Oh, my goodness.
The OT was pretty exciting, actually. That's probably the most consecutive shifts strung together that were actually really interesting in the entire game, because the game itself was mostly a snooze fest during the first 60, aside from, you know, a handful of plays in there that were awesome. But yeah, no, I mean, there was, you know, it was good action there. There was some back and forth, good defensive play. I forget who made it on a 2-on-1 for Ottawa. Power play actually looked somewhat, you know, looked pretty dangerous 4-on-3. I would hope it would. Yeah, jerk.
The overtime, I don't know, maybe I just was more focused on kind of getting everything set up for tonight, but I don't know. I thought last night was more exciting. I definitely thought Ottawa had more chances tonight. And like I said earlier, Martin Jones really, really held things together. That, like I said, there were numerous times where I'm like, okay, you know, this is probably going to be an Ottawa goal. And then, sure enough, he makes some kind of miraculous save to keep us in it.
Oh, yeah. He had a couple of those to keep them in late in the game, late in regulation, and then into overtime.
And Bodker actually even had a highlight save there. What we thought was initially Jones, but apparently it was Bodker actually managed to get in on that play late in the game, if you remember it, where it looked like Jones made a miracle save back the other way, and it ended up actually going off Bodker, I guess.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
And while we're here, you know, let's talk about Mikael Bodker. These last two games, I think, have been his best since he's joined the team. I mean, he's definitely gotten a lot. He's improved his play a lot. He just is snake bitten.
Yeah, I think he's been trending up for a little while now. And yeah, the last two games especially, he's done everything but score. So I think I would say great game on both games. Great games. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually you keep getting those chances, they're going to go in. Like, it'll happen eventually. So, kudos to him. And I'm hoping, he can't do any worse in the second half of the season, honestly. So I would think that we're going to get more from him in the second half of the season. There's a lot of guys I think we're going to get more from in the second half of the season.
At least you hope so, because, there's a lot of guys like Ward, Donskoy, who didn't play tonight, and Bodker, and this have been snake bitten so much.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is you think about how long some of our guys who are expected to kind of build on last season or even just be, you know, more effective this season. You think about how long these guys have been snake bitten, and yet the Sharks, granted, in a very shitty Pacific Division, the Sharks have still been floating at the top. So it makes me kind of wonder how things are going to be when our, you know, bottom six guys and our depth guys start to get going in addition to the top guys.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right now, aside from Pavelski, Couture, and Burns, like, I'm pretty sure almost everyone else below them, with the exception of a few, are probably going to do more. Thornton, I expect him to do. He'll probably be on a better pace in the end than 19 points in 30 games. Marlowe, 11 points, probably a little higher than that. Hurdle, well, but, you know, he's injured. Ward, I think, will tick up. Donskoy, I'm pretty sure, will tick up. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are not doing much in the goal scoring department that I think we can rightfully expect a lot more from. Obviously, Bodker is, you know, definitely one. But that's one of the reasons why I have a lot of optimism for this team, is right now they're right there in the thick of it. And even if they were in the Central, they would still be in fourth place in a wild card spot. So they're right in the playoff hunt in spite of having a lot of guys underperforming offensively.
Yeah. And kind of transitioning this, would you have put him in the shootout? Considering what he's done the last couple of games, would you put him in the shootout to try and maybe get him going that way?
Absolutely.
I would say yes. I looked it up because I was curious about the decision. He has 31% lifetime in the shootout, which is pretty good, actually. I think the league average is somewhere around 20% or below. So it's actually a pretty good number. Also, you figure, does cash in on a big one, that does help get his confidence going a bit. Because, you know, if you're used to being able to score and you're frustrated as heck and, you know, you start to doubt yourself, maybe you think like, oh, okay, maybe I am doing something wrong. When, you know, you could be doing everything right, you just could be unlucky. And, yeah, maybe that could have been the thing that could jumpstart him. So I think it was a good decision. Jerk?
Yeah, I agree, especially because you look at last night. Going into the third period, he was probably the best player on the ice. And then tonight, you know, same thing, third period and the overtime. I thought he was right in the thick of things, and it's a shame that he had a really shitty angle on his chance in overtime, because an open net for the ages that he just couldn't capitalize on.
Yeah, in some ways you're right, like rewarding him for how well he's played lately, like, and give him a chance to do something big. So I think it was definitely a good decision.
Well, and that's considered. The thing, and that's the thing too, is if you go back on the Sharks Twitter and you look at, you know, their projected lineups, they could have easily thrown somebody else with Couture and LeBanc, but they tossed Bodker up there in the absence of Donskoy.
Yeah, they're giving him the chances, and he's played fairly well. It's like you gotta wait for them to bury it, and you're almost like, okay, we're giving you this patience, but, you know, let's start moving it a little bit more now into actually burying it.
Patience is the mere knowledge that everything regresses to the mean.
And with that, we will talk about the shootout that Bodker was in. Kevin LeBanc scores the winner in the shootout. Jones makes phenomenal saves, including on, you know, Chris Neal's 1,000th game celebration. If you didn't know what the reason why the late start was, Ottawa's honoring their longtime player who played in 1,000 games during the recent road trip. The crowd got up for that. He had never taken a shootout attempt and got stopped. But Jones up to the task. LeBanc with a nice nifty move to finish it off. Nice way to steal 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. I mean, said when this game was exciting, it was exciting. And yeah, his LeBanc's finishing move on that was fan friggin' tastic. That, yeah, I can't complain. When this game was good, it was good.
Yeah. If the Sharks do good, it's good. Ian Reid.
Indeed. Words to live by.
That's right.
No, you know what though? I think the shootout goal for LeBanc, granted it's a shootout goal, so you know, at the end of your career when you're looking at your goal totals, it's not gonna be there, but I think the shootout goal is in a way kind of a good little thing for LeBanc, just because, you know, the two games before the Toronto game he scored. So obviously he's feeling good about being a rookie and coming in and making some damage. But you know, like I said, I did not think he was gonna score in the shootout. I thought he was moving too slow, but you know, he did score, and it's the same thing that we were talking about with Bodker. You know, he's got to be feeling super confident, feeling like, you know, he is a good player and he does belong with the Sharks. And so I hope he just, you know, explodes and gives us a reason to not send him back to the Barracuda.
I think he's making a very good reason not to go back to the Barracuda. This is where one of those decisions will be, okay, whenever Hurdle gets better, what do you do with him?
But Timo. Sorry.
Okay. Oh,
Timo. I was just reading someone's Twitter feed.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Jake Simpson. But yeah, that's the thing, you know. LeBanc has been contributing a fair share. What happens when you get all healthy? You got to keep him around, because I think he's contributing a little bit more.
Well, just like last year, also many insurance policies, because last year depth was a lot of the reason why they were able to get to the final, and you know, guys like Donskoy coming up and doing things. So it's a good, you know, if they need him. If they aren't fully healthy, because they were pretty healthy last year, that's, you know, it's a good thing. If they don't, then he's a pretty good insurance policy to have.
Yes. All right. So with that, we've completely broken down the game. The Sharks win 4-3. Let's go around the league really quick. There's only 4 games on the schedule tonight. That includes the night that you love to hate. It was a Wednesday night rivalry, that classic rivalry between Pittsburgh and Boston. And, of course, the first game goes into overtime. Pittsburgh beat Boston 4-3. Rust with the game winner in that one. There's 2 other games in progress, and that is Philly, who's won 9 straight, taking on let's be real here, the worst team in the league at the moment, the Colorado Avalanche. And that's 0-0. So the Flyers are going for 10 in a row on the in the Rocky Mountains. Also in progress, Tampa Bay is up 3-1 on Calgary. So that's good news for the Sharks right now. If that score holds, that's with about 6.5 minutes left in the second period. So depending on what happens, it won't change what the Sharks have done. Here's a look at the standings as of now. Sharks now are at 37 points. They have 16
rows.
Drink! Since Gen X is here. Anaheim and Edmonton are at 35. They're both idle tonight. Calgary on the outside looking in at the top three, although they currently hold one of the wildcard spots at 34. LA at 30. The Desert Dogs at 25. And
Vancouver.
You didn't say it the right way. Oh.
I know. I'm sorry. I was smiling too much because I thought you were going to say it.
I was waiting for you to say the say the.
And I had my hand on the mute button for it.
Just but, Eric, just say it so that I can say what I usually say.
Vancouver.
Oh, did somebody say Vancouver?
And I muted him. Just, yeah, I can't let that go.
But nonetheless, the only thing that could change is that Calgary goes up to second place if they pull out the victory tonight. Otherwise, that will remain the same. And that's your quick look around the league because there's only four games on the schedule for tonight.
Man. So I'm saying Calgary needs to beat the Bishop and pull that one out?
Ha. Man, how about L.A. on the way outside looking at the outside? You know? Yeah.
Burn in hell.
Yeah, they look like they're about to die.
Oh God, don't get me started. I bet you were boo dying to say that one.
Yeah, you have very quick wit there.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be at the San Jose Improv this weekend. Check it out. But yeah, LA. LA got some news that Quick looks like he'll be back in February. It was originally stated by March, but Dean Lombardi, of course, trips on his own words. In February, he should be returning to the lineup. So good news for Los Angeles Kings fans. Bad news for everybody else, unless we find out that Quick isn't the same as he used to be.
Or if they're pretty much buried by that point, which
yeah,
that'd be so sad.
I know their below average team is finally playing like a below average team. Who could have predicted that?
They were on a run until some team, I think San Jose, you know, kind of went into their barn and kind of took them to pieces. There
got exposed.
Yes, absolutely. All right. All right, YouTube chat. I know everybody's getting in their chomp talk on the chat.
Eric's a chomp median.
Hey-o. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask them right now. Of course, if you're on Twitter, by all means, use the hashtag TechnologyAD. We'd love to see those.
Did somebody say Chompcouver?
Chompcouver. I'll allow that one.
Yeah, that wasn't Vancouver.
Just this once. I got my hand on the mute button though.
Well, Chris, you heard the story the other night, right?
Which there are many stories in existence. Which one?
Our friend Matt Baker, who lives in Vancouver. I met up with him and AJ and a couple of their mutual friends. And of course, AJ kind of, you know, does the question that Hockey Jerk always says. And I did the Shorthouse impression for him, and he absolutely loved it, especially since he used to work with Shorthouse at TSN 1040. So it's catching momentum here, folks. I'm just saying.
Chomp-mentum.
And Rocket said, this is not a socialist chomp-matership. speaking of stories and stuff, so I was at the Ottawa game about a week and a half ago now, or was that last week?
It all kind of melds
together during finals time. But I was there thanks to at Revalize on Twitter for hooking me up with tickets. If you're watching, bud, thank you very much. On the way out though, and I was wearing my bright white Burns jersey and all that, and is walking. Suddenly, I hear someone yell from a car, "Hey, nice jersey!" I turn. There's this giant giant black matte van, and I was like, "Dude, it was Burns." I was like, "Damn!" I was a little starstruck for a second there. He's nice. Like, "What's up, man?" I was like, "Sweet, sweet." But yeah, it was just kind of funny. My wife thought that was hysterical because I was like, what? Oh, it's Burns.
Yeah, I think there was one game I think I went to last year, and you know, I was kind of hanging around. I think I might have been fan appreciation. I don't know. I was hanging around with AJ, and I walk out, and Burns is like going down. I think it's Santa Clara Street, and he was like laying on the horn. I'm like, oh, that's very Burnsy.
Well, apparently the chomperstation is going very nicely. We're seeing Gen X saying it's chompingism, hockey jerk. Thanks for adding on to this. No prior chompstery. Princess Cadence, hashtag chomp the D. Apparently, Burns is Chris's man crush.
Yes, he kind of is, actually. And then Rob Humphrey saying, are you sure it wasn't just a hobo hanging outside the arena? That's why, honestly, maybe I wasn't starstruck. I was starstruck as much as I was kind of verifying, like, that is Burns, right? Pretty sure it's Burns, beard, got the hat. I mean, and the van was so him, too. Like, if y'all ever seen that, if you waited outside, you've seen his
Oh yeah,
he's got the giant van, and it's the most Burns thing ever.
Oh yeah, M. Hackle, is Burns the new face of the franchise?
It's between him and Pavelski, and in some ways, I mean, Pavelski is long gone, underappreciated, and he might actually be eclipsed by Burns now. Like, he's had his brief moment where he was the biggest face on the Sharks. I don't know what you say, Jerk.
Well, is he the face on the ice or off the ice? That's the thing.
Can you find his face underneath that beard?
Also a very good point. If the playoffs started tomorrow, how long would Brent Burns' beard be?
It might be a question worth posing in the future when we talk to people who cover other teams. We do that occasionally. See what their perception is. Because, I mean, it's hard for us to say, because we're right here by the team and we view it that way. But I would say he's definitely in the top three. You could pretty well argue it's him, Pavelski, and Thornton.
Yeah.
You could put that in almost any different order. Like, Jones is the guy who's really going underappreciated. Like, people know his name, but, like, yeah, you know the crazy dudes with the beard, and then you know Pavelski.
I don't know. Honestly, I think Logan Couture gets a little underappreciated at times.
Yep, him too, actually. He's the teeth of the franchise, you know. Pavelski's the face. Pavelski's the face. And Burns is the beard. Couture is the teeth. Thornton's the rooster, you know, or the thing. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what body part do we have left for Jones?
He's the comically elongated neck.
Yeah, there you go. He's the comically elongated neck of the franchise. Voila.
Yeah. I actually have a question. I'll throw this out to everybody. So we saw General Fanager go by the wayside. What is everybody using for a cap site now?
Cap friendly.
That's what it was. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. If I Google salaries, that's the first one comes up. And it looks pretty credible. So
also for those of you who need even more convincing that Logan Couture is good. With his most recent goal, he tied Jonathan Chichu for fifth all-time in goals on the Sharks.
Burnsy?
Couture.
Oh, wow. So he's now moved up top five in just his sixth season.
Gen X pointing out important information in the chat. There are two E's in Wookiee, by the way.
Yes, I know. It was a typo on a freaking meme. Jeez.
It's important, man. Go to Wikipedia sometime and see if you get there.
Chompopedia. Go to Chompopedia.
There you go. There's the name of the website.
The one we're working on. There we go. Thornton's coming out with the Chia Head this season, Rocket.
Bob Humphrey says, I don't bother with cap sites. I don't understand the maths very good. That's okay. Not many people around here do either.
Well, I'm just thinking after next season, Martin Jones will be an unrestricted free agent. And yeah,
there's going to be a lot of conversation over the next 6 months to a year between the expansion draft, the pending free agents. I mean, it never ends.
Yeah. You also
you can
have...
find it all here if you subscribe.
Oh, Chompnology After Dark.
And boom, boom,
oh, jeez. the other one that's also in after that year, it's Wardo, if he isn't picked up by the Vegas insert name, team name here's
the Vegas placeholders.
Yes, the Vegas placeholders. Yes, absolutely.
The Vegas vacant hotel rooms.
Along with Aaron Dell and Mark Edward Vlasic. So DW not only has a tough offseason this coming year, but the following year might even be more critical.
Yeah, I mean, Burns was the first domino, though, and that's really, that was, I mean, there was no way they were going to do any of that until they got Burns lined up, because that was pretty much, if they couldn't get Burns re-signed, it'd be a real question of, do you rebuild?
If they
with the other pieces in place, it was still a legitimate question.
If they don't get Burns re-signed, then you fire everybody.
Yeah, well, and I know we've probably beaten the contract to death ad nauseum, but I haven't been on. But I mean, my take was, yeah, this is pretty much what you're going to pay for a guy of his caliber. Like you weren't going to get him much cheaper than that.
No,
not at all.
Especially after what Bufflin signed for. So, all right. Well, looking to make sure that we're all caught up on the chat room. Thank you very much for having fun with the Chompversation.
And thank you to our lovely moderators, Laurel, and the grouchy guy, Gen X. He is lovely, but he is a grouch too.
Yes. Speaking of the chat, Ian Reed here with a really good point. He says, LOL, Chichu. Your thoughts?
Lol, Chichu. Laurel, yeah. Pucknologist or Puck Chompit? Puck chompagists or chompnologists?
Oh, chompnologists. All the
probably
way.
Chompnologists.
Chom Fuglin from Rocket Backhander.
And we wouldn't be remiss.
From Rocket Chomphander.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't do a shameless plug for Pucknologist, Hockey Jerk.
This is Chompy Jerk here to plug. here to plug Chompnologists. We're chomp courting tomorrow, and we'll have episode number 11 out by Chomp Day, and a lot of good stuff to chomp about. We got Rocket Chomphander and AJ Chomp and myself. No, but seriously, Friday we should have episode 11 out.
Friday, and the more serial version of that is about the Pucknologists. Yeah. You can find them on iTunes and all that other lovely stuff.
Yeah, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, MySpace, TuneIn, Blueberry,
Zanga, Friendster,
all those spam ads that you see on the side of your porn websites, that'll direct you to Pucknologists as well.
Like the Pucknologists, hockey players hate these guys.
You'll never believe what happened next.
they got hockey information with this one simple trick.
Ian Reed says, can I chomp? You absolutely can. Rob Humphrey's like, hey, where the hell is AJ? AJ is enjoying a wonderful night off. You'll be hearing his voice on Friday when Pucknologist comes out.
Hey now.
Yes. No, he's not on Adult Print Finder, I'm pretty sure about that. All right, well, with that, let's go through...
Respect the under chomp.
Yes. Final thoughts, Hockey Jerk.
Oh, fuck.
All right, thanks.
The Sharks didn't start very well, didn't end very well. But, you know, they got a win. It's another set of... you know, stolen points to put in the bank, and hopefully they kick this trend of, you know, winning by accident, maybe? I don't know. We'll see.
Chris, what did you
do? I echo a lot of those same sentiments, but they're staying in the hunt right now, and that's the main thing. Like, they are far, far from clicking on all cylinders. They have another gear they can get into, so... they stay in contention while they sort all that out and kind of establish their identity like they did right around the same time last year, December, January, I like their chances of getting making a good run in the playoffs. The offense has been down, but the defense has been up. So it'll be a fun ride. And yeah, I mean, you think the way we talk sometimes, they've been horrible, but they've been a little up and down. They've had bad moments. They've had good moments, but they're right in the mix. So that's really that's the bottom line right now. It's gosh. December, folks.
Absolutely.
You mean it's Chompsember?
If the season started last month, or sorry, if the playoffs started last month. Anyways, yeah, let's not derail this. Back to you, Eric.
All right. With that, although I thought Ian said he wanted to chomp, which I assume he wanted to talk. Oh, careful. You're not having an earthquake over there, Chris, are you?
No, I'm not in Chivo country.
Yeah, no kidding. With that being said, make sure you subscribe down below or to the side. Make sure you hit up technology.net for all your latest Sharks opinions, news, and info. We will be back here on Friday. I think, Chris, you're going with Mr. Reed. And I think Nikki makes her wonderful return as the Sharks will take on Montreal Canadiens. That'll be Friday night at 4 p.m.
Do Shorthouse. That one's better.
French. I promise no French on that night.
You never know.
I might get along really well with them.
Google chat, let us know. What do you like better, Puck Guy's Shorthouse or Puck Guy's French accent?
Oh,
and want the and we'll ban the one that's less popular.
Let it be French. if you see him on Tinder, chomp right. Oh, jeez. All righty. Well, with that, make sure you subscribe down below. Make sure you hit up technology.net. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher,
MySpace.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
MySpace actually works. Uh-oh.
Dad's here.
Bonjour, oh, more than me.
Hey! All right. Well, now that Ian's here, we gotta watch out.
I just wanted to
call hello, Mr. Bonjour. Oh, all right. Well, in fact, two things before we go. The diehards, I love the shirt. Thank you for bringing this shirt back. Also, we send our best to former Sharks head coach Ron Wilson, who's recovering from his stroke. Wish him all the best. Sounds like he'll be doing well by Christmas. So we want to make sure, he tried to bake a cake with this team, and unfortunately didn't have all the ingredients. But nonetheless, Hantayo, Ron Wilson, we hope you have a speedy recovery. With that, for Ian Reed, the French version of Ian Reed, I should say, Hockey Jerk, and Chris JWS, I am Eric. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. You can follow us all on Twitter. But until Friday night, keep it real. Keep it tight. Keep it real tight.
Keep it chompy.
Chomp.